This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What do we think? Are we good here? Should we do this? You kids ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. Hi. Okay, are we recording over here? Sorry. Let's do this. Come get some. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Greg Miller.
Ass to ass!
Anthony Gallegos is here.
Hello.
Very special guest, Levi Buchanan, is here.
Hey now.
Retrocity!
And we are joined by a live audience here at PAX 2011. Thank you very much for joining us here today. I want to hear you say it. Say it after me. School!
School!
Oh, it's beautiful. I am so wet right now. Thank you for joining us again today. How are you doing, Greg? I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. We ate sushi a little while ago.
We did. It was really good.
Oh, my God. There's a sushi place, just like Japan. They got the little plates that go around. You eat it.
The color coordinated plates. So easy. So,
we need this in more cities.
What was that? It was called like Blue Sea Sushi?
That's right, yeah.
And but they
spell C with the letter C.
Yeah, that's
clever!
It's right across the street, around the corner from Cheesecake Factory, if you want to get a great lunch here at PAX. Anthony and I were in Germany just last week. Actually, Levi and I were in Amsterdam even more recently than that, actually. We flew back on Tuesday.
And that is all that will be said about Amsterdam.
That was Amsterdam. Before we get into anything, are there any super fans we need to recognize in the audience today?
There's a million. We did it before, right? Where we're like, oh yeah, you know, we got to make sure we recognize some of the super fans, and I forgot how many of them there are. So like when I was like, I think Brittany's coming, and blah, I forgot about Vince, Serge, Devin, Lisa, Mentalk One. He's the man who films everything, and then I steal it and put it on YouTube. One of the biggest GameScoop fans I've ever met in my life, Craig Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Craig Harris.
Craig Harris is here, too.
Craig Way!
Let's stand up here. Look at this guy.
Hi. Craig, what have you been up to since the 15-year tailspin?
Well,
ended?
After your mother delivered some donuts,
yes.
I had about 6 months of thinking about my next job. Eventually, I found my place, and it's downstairs right now. You need to go down. I'm here showing off Aliens Colonial Marines. That's Gearbox's game coming out next year. So come on down and see it. I'll give you a t-shirt.
There you go. Hey, speaking of t-shirts, Greg's wearing a really cool t-shirt today. Yeah. Any of you want this t-shirt?
Yeah!
You have to come to our party tonight.
I thought you meant you were going to give this one away. I was like, damn. All right.
You can give that one away.
No, I'm not going to. I didn't bring it back up. Yes, come to the party. GameWorks tonight. 6 o'clock till 10 o'clock. Some free drinks, some free food.
Yeah.
Lots true. Of panda to be had.
Another IGNer that's here with us today is Jim Riley.
Woo, Jim Riley.
Info boy.
Jim Riley.
Right here in the front row. Anthony, when we were in Germany, Anthony fell in love with the cocktail waitress at our bar, at our hotel bar.
I don't feel like it's fair to say I fell in love. I think we all fell in love.
A little bit, yeah. But you were the one. I wasn't going to make a move. She was yours.
Yeah. Well, we established
between
that early
you and,
on.
You and Bobby, but Bobby's yeah. married, so.
Her name was Laura.
Laura.
Laura, not Laura. Yeah. Laura, and she was this beautiful German girl who made German actually sound pretty instead of like really. Like
harsh,
scary.
That's true.
And I ended up asking her out because Damon told me I had to. He like pep talked me, and everything. Well, don't clap. She said she declined.
No, but he was still a champ for asking her out. And she told him that he was her favorite.
Yeah, but I feel like that's like when a stripper's like,
you're
guys,
my favorite.
The only people in here that are cool are you guys. And you're like, you know, she kind of had to.
Yeah, that's so true.
But yeah, I still miss her. Damon was like, we should get a picture with her, but I was like, no, because before I know it, I'd like drop everything and move there.
Exactly.
Like, I got to be with this waitress.
Yes.
So.
Sensitive guy, Anthony Gallegos. But we drowned our sorrows at a German club dancing to the wee hours.
Yeah, where they're playing hot tracks like DMX's Up in Here.
Well, that is a hot track. They're also playing Black and White by Michael Jackson.
So yeah.
Really yeah. weird. Mixed in with like current top 40 stuff. Anyway. Let's get to the topics at hand today. Greg, what's the title of our talk today?
It's a first. We've done a few of these panels here and there, and we've never had a topic.
Old.
Today we chose IGN Don't Hate Us Because We're Beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's the thrust here. That's what we're doing.
We're joined by Tina Sanchez.
Hey, one up, everybody. She doesn't have a mic if you're listening at home. Great radio. Anyways, yeah, so we're talking about the fact that we are IGN and we are the biggest and we think best video game website out there, and a whole bunch of people hate us. A lot of people don't like us and talk a lot of shit about it. So that's the panel. Thanks for coming.
I think of it as the Kim Kardashian effect. You know, she's one of the most popular people in the world.
She's also a vapid bitch. Don't compare us to her.
Yeah, so maybe that's not the best comparison then.
I like that before Kim Kardashian, scientists didn't know what to call this phenomenon. They don't like, they're really popular and people don't like that.
Yeah.
Weird. We need somebody to reference that to.
IGN is, what, 13 years old now?
Correct.
Officially started in 98.
14, says Craig Harris from Sega.
we hold the Guinness World Record for being the world's largest video game site. Yeah, so what's some of the perceptions about IGN out there?
I mean,
that's what we're talking about today.
I mean, so I think I have a unique perspective.
That's why I was happy to have both Anthony and Levi here on the panel today, because they have unique perspectives. Greg and I are lifelong IGN fans, diehard IGN fans.
First job in the industry was at
First IGN. Job, I've been here 5 years. Greg's been here four and
four and a half years.
And we've only worked at IGN. We've only loved IGN. But Anthony worked at 1UP first.
Yeah, and you know,
before we bought them,
worked with a lot of
like the cattle they are, Tina.
And I worked with a lot of print people, and we always looked over at IGN, and it was partially like jealousy, right? Because we were like, why the fuck does everyone like them so much? We really didn't understand, and it was really easy for us at the time, in a mixture of like jealousy and all kinds of other things, to look at them and be like, man, they fucking suck. All the like the guys are nice. The guys are nice, but the website is trash. Like, we were just like, we wouldn't say we hate them.
You thought we were nice?
No, yeah. A lot of people thought IGN people were, like, nice when they'd meet them and stuff. I think that's universal. Like, you can talk to people from GameSpot. Everybody, they always say IGN.
No way. The thing you don't know about the games industry is that, you know, how, like, you go to these things, like, you go to these panels, and usually for a lot, or not panels, but parties and whatever, and for a lot of times, you know, you're the representative for your site, and lots of times, everyone there is so, like, shy and reserved that they don't talk to each other. It took a long time for me to start reaching out.
It is very easy for clicks to develop and for you to be like, those guys must be, I don't know, they seem like they're just big old party jerks or something like that. But, you know, like you guys, like I think IGN always got associated with being the kind of crazy guys that were getting panda. And well, that's absolutely true.
That's thanks to us.
Right, and I think that was intimidating because I feel like we were much more nerdier. But regardless, like the reason I think we were like, we don't understand why IGN's like biggest. We have like a copy editor. We're putting up all these stories. We felt really great. But then when I came to IGN and like through GameSpy and I realized was like, there's a balance that has to be struck when you're working online. Like everyone we worked with thinking print. And print is one thing, but when you're working online, there has to be a balance between like making the best copy you can and also being timely. And we sucked at being timely. And IGN like is like the most aggressively timely site I've ever seen. And that's awesome. Like they're also, and also the first thing I noticed when I worked there was like, man, why does IGN get all these exclusives? Like, is it just because of the biggest site? Sure, that's part of it. No doubt about it. You know, but it's also because like IGN people are like hyper aggressive about like working their ass off about getting those exclusives, networking, making those connections. And you kind of, and I think we all just realized working with them slowly over time that it was like, okay, not only are these people like not jerks, they're all way passionate. They're not just there for about the clicks. They're like there because they're writing about what they love about. And you know, it's just like completely changed my perception once I was like in, on the inside. And so now I like it.
Yeah, I mean, there's always this perception that we just play games for a living, and I think we'd all agree that we really enjoy our jobs and our jobs are awesome. But we bust our asses to
yes.
make sure that we stay number one.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for appreciating hard work. Fuck it, put up a new Babeology.
Right, I mean, IGN isn't just big because they're like, you know, how can we churn out, like they do, you know, obviously we care about like traffic and stuff like that, right? But it's also because like they're constantly adapting their content to what the audience wants, and they're experimenting. And so like you can even look at that over the years. Like we, you know, IGN's been smart about transitioning to video and starting to push out the personalities of its editors more. Because I think like when I was at 1UP and stuff, I had no idea who you guys were or anything like that, right? Outside of like maybe podcasts, which, you know, compared to the size of IGN is a much smaller audience, you know. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, like we had like no idea who these people were. Never knew what you looked like.
Yeah.
Pictures. That's all being like that's, way expanded now.
That's one of the biggest changes I think since I came on board, right? Is like what I used to, I mean, from being on the outside, when I'd apply at IGN and I'd apply at 1UP and I'd apply at GameSpot or whatever, the other sites were nice enough to give me a rejection. And then like 1UP on the community forum, you know, Matt Leone would give me advice and talk to me about what I needed to work on and stuff like that. And IGN was just a black hole of where my email went and disappeared, and we didn't have editor sites up. And the blogs sucked. The blogs were terrible. You know what I mean? Like nobody used them, so you didn't know these people's personalities. And now since we're there, you know, like, I mean, jump back. I mean, this is, you know, your fifth year, my 4.5 year. I remember my first year here, people came back from PAX who just went up not to cover it, just to go be part of it. And they came back like, oh, man, I had to turn my badge around and people off. They saw the IGN thing. But like there was this whole belief that, and I think for a lot of gamers, right, that IGN was this corporation or it was just this machine pumping out things. And so that the fact that we would have a PAX panel like 4.5 years ago seemed crazy. You wouldn't see that kind of thing.
So this is awesome. Thanks for coming to this.
It's something we fight with every day as far as trying to change that perception that we're not a bunch of robots.
Yeah,
I feel like we have more
personality and bigger personalities than any other site out there. I mean, I don't know if anyone else that does Dinosaur Week.
For better or worse.
And I think that that's a testament to how IGN's changed, right? Like, I would say 4 years ago that never would have happened.
Totally. Yeah, never
like,
would.
Like, IGN was about, like, let's go to the show. Let's cover every game, even if we've covered it 28
times. Yeah, that's also a different philosophy we've had. We used to go to E3 and cover every game.
Barbie
no matter what.
Like,
even Barbie's Dating Mystery 12, which was actually pretty good, by the way. Better than 11.
Levi,
yes.
Stop being so quiet. What's your interesting perspective?
Levi's perspective is that he's a former IGN employee.
Left.
Levi was at IGN for how many years?
A little over 8 years.
And before that, you were at Nintendo Power?
Yeah, so I started, my first job out of college was at Nintendo Power as a writer, and then I stayed in the industry, whether it's for freelancing or I worked at GameFan for a little while before that went under. And so I'd had a long time appreciation of IGN. It was actually, you know, one of those goals. You know, I started, you know, when reading IGN back before it was IGN and when it was Saturn World, and then it became a collection of sites, and then it officially became IGN. So I had a real great personal appreciation and affiliation. You know, and to work at IGN for me was a huge goal. And so when it finally happened, it remains, you know, a major accomplishment for me.
So what do you think your perspective is now, having left IGN? Do you feel like you can talk more freely, like more openly about this? Like, since you're not employed by us anymore.
Who didn't you like at the office?
I think one of the biggest things that I realize is how IGN, for better or for worse, takes over your entire life.
When you work there?
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Greg and I eat, breathe, sleep, and live IGN.
And it's one of those things that's always so hard to talk about when I go home. Like when I go back to Chicago, right, and I meet my friends who are doctors or whatever they're doing, whatever their day job is.
Doctor friends?
Yeah, I know. Really weird, right? Me. And the funny thing is this doctor I'm thinking of, right, he used to backyard wrestle. We almost paralyzed him with a coffee can once. But a story for another time. Anyways, you go and talk to them, and you know they talk about their friends and what they do after work and yada yada. And it doesn't involve their coworkers. Whereas, like, literally, Damon and I work next to each other all day long and go on these trips and room together, and then on the weekends we hang out together. You know what I mean? Like, we're together all the time, and it's hard for people to understand that we work at a site that we believe so much in that, I mean, everyone there is your best friend, they are your family, that you get so caught up in it that there's no – that's why it's so weird when, like, somebody wants to leave or somebody feels like it's their time or there's layoffs or something like that. Then it's really weird because then there's that – gut check moment of, oh, right, this is our job still. This isn't strictly family.
And I feel like, you know, it is like a company of over 200 people, right? So from the outside looking in, it is like a huge corporation. And when people hear those stats, it's easier for them to look at it. But editorial is like a group of like 15 people that hang out. So like when I think about IGN, right, I don't feel like I'm loyal to Fox, who owns us. Like that's not where my loyalties lie. I wouldn't even say my loyalties lie with IGN as a company of 200 people. Like my loyalties personally lie with like the team of 15 people. Like I work and hang out with. Like that's what I think of when I think of IGN. Like I don't think about all, I mean, I know the tech side and all that's important, but to me it's like IGN is like the core group of us that all hang out. We all work together. We all like look out for each other. Yeah. Like, you know, like when one of our editors got robbed 2 years ago, Greg started a thing and we ended up buying him a new iPad and giving him like $700. And
yeah, that was Nick Cullen, right? He got mugged.
It's like second week here, this poor like right after he moved, scrawny Australian dude got stuck up with all the money he had in his pockets. Dumb Australians.
But I think the thing when I said that it kind of takes over your life, I think there's the social aspect of it, sure, but because I was never in the office, I always worked from home, either when I lived in Los Angeles or now I'm in Portland, I would find it was just something that was constantly on my mind. It would be, you know, right before going to sleep, you know, you would think about, okay, this,
checking email.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I check email. I kind of need to get this done tomorrow. Let's see if I can't finish, let's see, two or three stories and things like
totally.
That.
Totally. And it's the same way even when you don't.
And it really took about 2 months, I think, to decompress.
Really?
Not just to emotionally disconnect from IGN, but then to get out of that rhythm. I mean, because, you know, I have, you know, daily activities now, but it's not like a, you know, IGN's a daily living, breathing thing that you have to you have to feed the beast. And so it's very different when you work in a more traditional, even though it's still video games, but a more traditional job.
Yeah, you can leave it at the door. There's not like me and Colin get home. We live together now, and the first thing we do is open our laptops and usually put something on the page that was late or check Twitter. And if news breaks, you're on it. Like, you know, I was going to go out with Scott Lowe once, and we were going to go to karaoke, but then the PSN network came back, so me and Colin drove to the office and did a podcast. You know what I mean? Like, you can't. That is always there. Like, and that's the worst too. I hate it. Because I love the internet, Damon. I don't know if you know this. I use it quite
internet.
Often. And I like when you check Twitter right before bed and somebody posts something that's interesting, you're like, motherfucker. All right, back on, boot up the computer, what's happening?
But at the same time, that's why, you know, like that's what I'm saying, right? That's why IGN continues to be successful is because it has people that are willing to do that. Whether it burns them out over time or not, well, that can happen.
That's another panel.
but I mean, that's what I learned coming, right?
But that's
like,
a great.
From the outside in, like when I was at 1UP, we would have been like 9 o'clock, fuck off. You know what I mean? Like that would have been like a totally different mindset about it back then.
And I think that level of dedication is why we find it so baffling. Some of the hate for us, you know what I mean?
Yes, and you have a few examples of those, right?
I have many examples of the hate for us. This is the
let's go to Exhibit A.
All right, so we'll go through some of my favorite here, and I'll give you some examples. This, of course, is from my Lair review. If everybody remembers, Lair was the first game.
You guys read that?
4.9. I still have an inbox in my.
I'm sorry. Is that kid's email address?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
This is Asian Gamer.
Be cool.
Email
Everybody
address
be cool.
is belmong24 at naver.com. Body is
such
your Lair review is such is just trash. Just a trash. Do you think everyone is blind and deaf? Your fear of you is trash too. Why doesn't IGN fire this liar? And this, if you note the date, August 30th, I'd been working at IGN just a few months. It's like the biggest review I'd ever done. That's what
it
you
was
get.
Just a trash.
So this is the kind of stuff we get, like, you know, you're killing yourself, doing a review. You think, and I, Not to mention, it's my opinion. You know what I mean? The best part of right now, as far as being a video game fan, hundreds of sites out there, hundreds of opinions. So if you don't like my opinion or if you don't agree with me on games, you know full and well you can go check somewhere else. Destructoid, Giant Bomb, all these sites, and find a writer that, you know, you agree with. You shouldn't do that. Go to IGN every day. But, you know, you could do that. This is another interesting one. We'll preface here. Let's see, this is so I put out the feelers. Hey, if you have anybody, if you see IGN hate, make sure you tell us I'm doing this panel, yada, yada, yada. This one got sent to me. This is Stephen Totillo from Kotaku. This is like a 1 on the 10 scale. Stephen Totillo, to my knowledge, doesn't tweet against IGN a lot. Lots of people do. However, Stephen tweets, congratulations to IGN for locking up the 9-hour exclusive on Toy Story's Cold War review.
I don't even know what that
what he's mad about.
Means.
Why would we even care enough to do that? Like, it seems
I don't know
idiotic.
That we did care a lot. We just
asked, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, can we put the review up now?
Dude, I'll take a 30-minute exclusive. I want everyone in this room and everyone who reads IGN to know that they can go to the site and know that we're busting our ass trying to get you the news and reviews and whatever as fast as we can.
The thing is, on the internet, being first can make all the difference.
Well, yeah, and plus, exclusives are the currency that media companies deal in. So I don't know why anyone would ever criticize a media company for going after an exclusive.
Yeah.
And well, you see, and this is the weird thing about our industry in general right now. And I mean, granted, video game journalism is incredibly young. There's no rules or style or anything. And I mean, coming from somebody who is classically trained to be a journalist, like, it horrifies me the conversations that are posted. Like, you put up – we got this Gunstringer exclusive trailer, right? Like, the first time anybody's seen it, it's from the guys who did the Maw. And we posted it, and we're like, oh, and we'll do this new details page format we're doing, which is basically, like, you know, a bold question and then an answer, like a fact. And all we did was base it off the trailer because that's all we knew. We put that up, and another journalist at another site lost his shit and was like, I can't believe they'd give IGN this exclusive preview, and the fact sheet is all they'd post. Dude, we didn't see the game. You're talking out your ass. You have no idea what you're saying. And but, like, he gets on there and just puts everybody on blast. It's like, you make not only yourself look foolish, you're making the whole industry look foolish. Yeah, we have to get above sitting there and throwing – I never see Stone Phillips tossing rocks at other journalists on Twitter. Stone Phillips, by the way, Paramount journalist. You're not going to get any higher than Stone Phillips. All right, up next.
What's next?
This is another out-of-context thing. Anthony previewed Starhawk. Anthony says in the opening that, you know, Lightbox is going in a different direction here. They're doing something that I like and I want to see more of, and it's a black main character, that there's not enough black protagonists in the games.
There are. I mean, there are characters that you play as that are black, but there are not many black, like, heroes. Often, if you play a black character, they're, like, stereotyped to even be, like,
all aboard the Coltrane!
Exactly, or they're Coltrane or something, right? And this guy's, like, a black person, but he's not, like, being portrayed as any particular, like, he's not, like, culturally limited or anything like that. You know, he's like a nuanced, interesting character with a really and they don't make a big deal out of it, but I just think that that's cool, right? Because I would
and that's all he said. That's all he said in the preview, and people lost their shit in the comments. And then somebody, another site, Game Zenith, went and posted this. And I mean, this is just, you know, off a general Google Anthony Gaio Starhawk. I might have put a sucks in there, and this is what came up.
I have a listener mail that pertains to this topic.
Oh, please hit it. Remember, if you have listener mail, send it to gamescoop@ign.com.
Good plug. This is David Dunn. He says, 99% of the time, which is all of the time, there is a white face on the hero, the star, or the main character on video games. I'm tired of it. To look at TV, movies, games, and rarely see myself or anyone that looks like me is hurtful at times. When are you guys on this podcast going to talk about it?
Dunn. Put a pin in it, buddy. It's over.
He says, the only black faces I see are Kratos and the guy on Warhawk.
Kratos is black? Kratos is Greek.
Yeah.
So, I mean... he's ethnic. He's of a. Let's just go with this. At least he's not a 30-something white male with a shaved head. All right, we've gotten that far away from it.
Well, Greg, do we agree that this will all change when Tyler Perry starts making video games?
Oh my God, we need some Tyler Perry games. He makes good movies, Damon. Stop knocking him.
Medea goes to jail. You got to break Medea out of jail.
Here's another example, Damon. This is pertaining to you. You got a lot of flack for your Castlevania review. You give it 7.5.
Lords of Shadow.
Internet
said,
freaks out.
Hey, this game is good. And the internet flipped out.
And on top of that, David Cox, one of the makers of the game, tweeted about it a couple times. Mm-hmm. How did that make you feel?
Well, it's not about how I feel. I just think it's pretty unprofessional for developers to be publicly complaining about reviews of their game.
Here's my thing about it, is that and it's an interesting thing, right? I think we get the chance to sit there and review a game, and most of the time we try to be objective and understand that no matter how bad a game was, it took years to make.
I was going to say, don't say when you say the word objective.
You know what I mean? I mean, I'll put it
all
out there.
All reviews are subjective.
Like, my Naughty Bear review was awesome and totally was in the moment of how much I hated that game. But I said some things in there about, like, I took, like, shots at developers. Like, they shouldn't make games. And, like, that was over the line. I shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? Because, like, this is an example. I've never been on the other – we're sitting here complaining about how foolish and how much we hate, like, you know, these hateful comments we get. But what's their output when they get a game that they get – their game gets shit on. They thought it was good. And I guess, again, 7.5, not shitting on it. But is there any answer? How can a developer have a conversation? How can they talk about, like, I didn't agree with the score? I mean, can it just be more than – I mean, if you're watching at home, or listening at home, is nice to see people seeing that IGN review for what it is. ...
And I mean, he had many other tweets that day.
Yeah.
About the review too. I just think there's, you know, a way to go about doing that. You know, conversations don't necessarily have to happen in public forums like that.
Okay.
At the same time, having shit talked about you sometimes is like a good way to know that you've done something right. Like when I reviewed Blur for IGN. And there was, like, that day's Penny Arcade comic, like directly was about my Blur review. Mm-hmm. And his, like, Tycho's write-up was talking shit about my Blur review. And I was like, yes. Like, that's like a sign I'd made. It's like being made fun of in South Park or something like that, right? Like you've actually pissed someone off who, in the scheme of the internet, matters. So it's kind of, you know, sometimes you have to have a thick skin about it.
Of course.
Although I will say sometimes they do get to me, right? Like when people were saying that I was like a racist for that Star Rock article, like, you want to talk shit about me, but yeah, it bugs me. Like that's like challenging something that's like fundamental about my character. Yeah. But you know,
have to deal with a lot of negativity because you...
This is getting into just the random shit talking for no reason. This was posted on my IGN wall. You're the worst editor on the site. Have you ever thought about quitting? I have not.
Anthony puts together a feature for us called Comment Comeback, where editors will respond to comments.
Right, and we touch on things like, you know, like for instance, when we did the Brink review, right, and the editor that wrote it, Peter Eichmans, he was talking about how it's a really repetitive game. And, you know, and to some extent, you know, yes, every game is repetitive. You can always distill every game down to, like, yes, you run, shoot, you do this. The problem is that the games that make you aware of it are the problem. But because he dared to call a shooter repetitive, the comments just turned into, IGN gets paid to write nothing but good reviews about Call of Duty, and all they care about is Call of Duty because that game's a repetitive piece of shit, and all we do is suck Activision's dick. That's like what we have to hear, right? And it's so ridiculous, the thought that we get paid for reviews, because honestly, if we got paid for reviews, first off, I wouldn't bother doing a panel in front of you. I'd just be like, I wouldn't care. I'd just be rich. I wouldn't give a fuck about anybody anymore. Or I would drive like a really awesome car, or I wouldn't be wearing...
You'd have a helicopter.
Beat up ass shoes. Yeah, I would have a motorcycle. But we don't, like, none of that happens. Like, what people don't often understand, you know, and they think because we're like this big faceless corporation, like, we're working with our marketing company to make sure that we write a really good review for the site, for the game that has ads on our thing. But you can look at that. That isn't true, because like when that Brink review went up, or like when
Naughty
Medal
Bear.
Of Honor review went up, that was like not exactly positive. Like our site was all branded Medal of Honor. Like we have no clue. I have no clue day to day what's going to be skinned up on our site, and that's intentional. You know, they don't want it to influence our editorial.
Exactly.
Levi, the situation in the wireless gaming world is a little bit different in terms of pay for reviews.
Yes.
Right. I mean, there are mobile gaming sites that all they do is review iPhone games.
Now, this phenomenon has actually disappeared, but in the beginning, well, maybe, I mean, at least I don't deal with any site that's like that. But in the beginning, when iPhone got first really popular and there were, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of apps, there were smaller sites that would, for $50, we will expedite your review.
Exactly.
We will make sure that your app or game is reviewed sooner. And that was always really shady. And that was something we never did at IGN, though it was offered quite often. So if I send you a promo code and $200, can my review go up this week?
Yeah, we actually have really stringent
codes.
Now
your review's never going up.
We actually have really stringent codes at IGN about gifts, too. Like, anything that's, like, straight-up money, like, people have sent... Like, I forgot what dumb game it was that was, like, it's a
check. It
was
Dante's Inferno.
Dante's Inferno.
Dante's Inferno, because it was like greed, you know? It was like, oh, it's the sin of greed, so we send you money or some bullshit like that. And we're like, no, we can't take this. You know, and we can't take gifts that are, like, over the value of a game. So that comes up all the time. Like, people get shit and we're like, oh, that's when we end up giving it away on Twitter and stuff like that. Because not compromising their values is very important to the editors. I mean, like, You know, that's, again, people just think that all these IGN guys are just like, fuck it, all we care about is your clicks and your money, fuck off. But that's totally not true at all.
No, I mean, you look at me with Infamous and Colin now with Resistance, right? Like, these are games that we were arguably are the most knowledgeable about, me with Infamous, Colin with Resistance. And so now those reviews come around and we both go, no, not going to review it because we don't want the people who are haters or you, the real fan, to read the review and be like, well, I can't trust this. Greg's in the tank for Infamous all the time, and I am. So how do you deal with you, like, most of us don't get offended by comments. I've been letting a few scroll by here about how IGN has no opinion, they're shit, blah blah blah. Do you just disregard them? What do you do, Damon?
Yeah, I mean, you like we were saying earlier, you I think you learn pretty quickly when you work in this industry, not just at IGN, probably any internet site that has a comment system. You have to learn pretty quickly to develop a thick skin, and it's also you have to keep perspective in mind. The people commenting on articles are very vocal minority. It's probably less than 5% of the people that actually read the site.
Yeah, you figure our you know, the biggest story of the day will get, 100,000 unique visitors or whatever, and maybe there's 100 comments on it, like something like that.
So it's like less than 1% of people, and it's just like people think NeoGAF is like something that is like this like end-all be-all way the opinion of the internet, but that's not true either.
Yeah.
I mean, NeoGAF is a very small community as well. Very vocal. Not important, but it's just not.
You can't gauge how. I mean, IGN would be the worst site in the world. We would have no visitors if you based it off NeoGAF opinions.
Exactly.
We'd just rumble. But now Twitter's being interesting. Twitter is giving us a lot of comments right away. This one I pull up because I've posted this thing. It says also,
why?
Game over, Greggy can go deep throat a car exhaust. Can't
Don't
stand
say it.
That cunt. Complete
Don't say
cunt.
It.
He's British. No, but I'm making
Levi
the point.
Levi is delicate.
I did not review a game this day. I did not do anything. I did not have a video. Like, this was just at 10:54 in the morning. This is what was on my Twitter. And, like, that boggles my mind that somebody who hasn't met me can hate me that much. And so I went to this kid. What is he? Oh, he's a gamer and an aspiring journalist.
Yeah.
Like, really? At what point do you think this is acceptable behavior for someone who wants to call themselves a journalist or anybody? You know what I mean? And so I responded back to him. I said, thanks for listening and reading. And his response was, I do neither. Well, how the hell do you know you don't like me?
I think the unfortunate thing about this, you see the tweets or the Facebook comments or the comments on the story, is that just the unbridled hate just drowns out a legitimate conversation. I was thrilled when I would get a comment, even if it was negative, if it had substance in it.
Totally.
If it started a conversation, or also very importantly, dinged me on something I legitimately did wrong.
Yeah.
Not just a typo or getting a
or
getting
not just
something
taking
wrong.
Personal attacks, right?
Yeah.
Here's another one. I'll go quickly. This is one I saved, though, Damon. I showed Anthony and Damon.
Oh,
this,
yeah,
but
you're
going to
save this one first.
This is from me and Rich George hosted the top 100 comic book characters, right? Whatever it was. Maybe Heroes. It was Heroes. Sorry. And this was pulled together by the entertainment team and the comics team down in L.A. Rich and I had no opinion on this. We were just the biggest comic fans in SF, and they needed a video, so we did it. So we did it, and this kid tweeted over about me this weekend, or that weekend, thanks, IGN, for having that dreadful Game Over Greggy drive its top 100 comic book heroes list into the salted earth. Know your comics, you hack. Oh, I have a content meeting, too. I'm going to dismiss that. I respond. Anytime you send something to me, I respond and go, oh, thanks for listening, thanks for reading, because I don't care. I'm not going to engage hate because I have all of you in this room and all the people who listen to the podcast who want to have real conversations with me. So I responded back, and usually that shuts them up. He responds, you're aware I'm calling you a dipshit, right? And then he continues to flame me on his thing. And this is one of the few occasions where I was like, fuck it, I'm going after this kid, guns a-blazing. I Facebook him, I find where he works, I find out he's in school. I go to his school page, find out their code of conduct, get down the location and contact hours. I am like fuming at my iPad, and I have all this information, and I'm telling Steimer, I'm like, I'm going to call his boss tomorrow, and I'm going to call his principal, or not his principal, but his like university president, and tell them that there are ramifications when things happen on the internet, and you shouldn't be just out there in a public forum calling people names.
And then you took a breath.
Luckily, I calmed down. Yeah, I slept on it because I knew I was being crazy, and I did not do it. Yeah, but that. This is another fun one. Me and Tina did a Journey video. This kid posted on the comments there that this is the preview of the Journey beta. So to review this artistic and mellow freeform gaming experience, you picked a hyperactive, annoying moron and a hippie. You sure are funny. He goes
to be
on.
Fair, Tina is a hippie.
Yeah. He continues on railing, and then my response was, thanks for pointing out that this was a review. I give the beta coconuts out of TVs, editor knapsack.
So good.
That was probably my best thing I've ever written for IGN.
I'm always baffled by how many people find it difficult to distinguish between a preview and a review.
Yeah. Real quick, too, here's the Reddit thread. Remember, I reviewed Dead Space 2. This is when IGN was trying to branch out and put, you know, trying to toy with our reviews. Let's do really personality-driven pieces. I wrote this very personal Dead Space 2 review. Hillary read it and was like, this is awesome. This is exactly where Perry is wanting our reviews to do. Great job. We post it. A few days go by. Bromley's like, you're blowing up on Reddit. And I go, what the fuck is Reddit? And I go to Reddit, and it's this message board filled with people hating me. Does anyone else think a middle school kid wrote the Dead Space 2 review for IGN? And just like Levi, I'm totally down with criticism. I am far from perfect. I'm probably, like, you know, I'm rusty as hell on all my everything.
Everybody on the site knows that sometimes we put up stuff that we wish we could have made a little bit better. You know, like, it just happens. Like, it's just the reality of working in an online business. You know, it's one thing when you have time for it to go through 7 editors and all that because it's a month out, but oftentimes that's just not the way the internet
yeah.
works. That's
my problem was, though, that there was no comments. It was, you're a middle schooler. You're right. He sucks. Fuck him. He's fat, too, I heard. Blah. I was like, wait, no. What's wrong with the review? So then I blogged about it. And I said, what is wrong with the review? My email address is this. Please send me the email.
He made a horrible mistake.
No, it's not, because I'm never going to run. I'm never going to be afraid to talk to somebody about something I did. I put it up. It's got my name on it. Let's go. And not in a defensive way, in a way, really, what's wrong? So I put it up, and of course, then there was another Reddit thread that said, oh, somebody hurt the journalist's feelings. And I'm like, what? What did you want? You told me this sucked. Now tell me why. I'm not hurt. I want to know. And I got, you know, probably a good 25 responses in saying, this is what's wrong. This is why it is, blah, blah. And then I got 100 that were, fuck you, faggot. I'm like, damn it. Come on, internet, do it. And then, of course, other sites picked it up. This is another game journalist. I'm not familiar with them. Basically, this is a Greg Miller, Dead Space 2 sucks. And then, yeah, this is some of it comes up.
Wow.
The kids on Reddit went through and made a highlighted version of what was wrong and did it. My problem with their amended red pen version of it is that some of it's totally just a style choice. They're like, I don't know, why are you doing this? Blah, blah. And then I loved it when my defenders went in there and corrected the red pen corrections. And I was like, so, I mean, yeah, we all want information. I put up a video, a little cat meme. We all want information. We want to know how to make ourselves better, but we want it in a legitimate, constructive way.
I think to touch on something, though, that Damon said is that sometimes people don't know the difference between a preview and a review. I think that's, though, partially because IGN and a lot of sites, previews used to be very flat. And
yes.
They used to be objective. You know, you're talking about the game, but we'll see how it is in 2 months.
Yeah. And not only that, but it could have been any number of editors doing it. You could never tell, like, oh,
exactly.
This was Greg, because I know Greg likes Dead Space a lot, so I should think about the way Greg views Dead Space. No one had any clue about that. And now that's just not the case. I mean, people know us through podcasts, and I think that, you know, they can immediately go to our MyGN blogs, and not only that, but they just know us a little bit.
IGN's audience has grown exponentially over the past few years, really since we've been hired.
Yeah, totally. It's us.
And it's during that time that we've changed our voice a lot, changed our approach to reviews and previews. Our reviews are a lot shorter and more concise now. God, the Grand Theft Auto 4 review is like seven pages long.
No, it was 8 pages.
We would never write an 8-page review for anything anymore because we realized that people they're not going to read that. There's a very, very small, hardcore group of people that will read an 8-page review.
Even when we write 2-page reviews, you can look. The drop-off is pretty significant. Most people are just like, skip to the second page, give me the fucking
What's
score.
What's the score?
Exactly.
Yeah. What's the graphics breakdown?
Greg, what's the only thing I want to know from a game review?
You want to know if it's fun.
It's true. Their games are supposed to be fun. Just tell me if it's fun and why or why not. So, you know, we changed our approach to reviews that way, and with previews, we start to inject more personality and honesty into them because we feel like it's not doing anybody a service if we're not being honest about, you know, what shape the game is, what the game looks like.
And I feel like back in the day, like a lot of the way that went from the outset that I used to look at IGN and think, wow, they kind of are like this, like, faceless thing. I don't understand why they succeed and stuff. And I don't even think that was your fault. Like, it wasn't that the editors didn't have amazing personalities. They did on podcasts. It was just that the mandate was a little bit different from the people that were kind of in charge of the editorial vision and stuff.
We were still very much in the magazine style. You know what I mean? That's one of the big things. When Hillary took over EIC, he's gone now, obviously. But when he took over, it was that he wanted to bring that out, and we needed to change the site, and we couldn't sit there and be static. We couldn't sit there and be, okay, there are 14 maps, there's this difficulty and that. It looks like shit, but I won't tell you that. I will say it might shape up.
You did that recently with your Call of Juarez preview.
Yeah, and a Kinect preview for this game called Wipeout 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not Wipeout the racing game. It's Wipeout 2 based on the ABC show, right? That game comes out in Call of Juarez, for instance.
You just reviewed Wipeout.
I know. Call of Juarez, the latest Call of Juarez. And a month out, you know that game's already been shipped to go to, like, you know, to make discs and all that. So when I play it for preview, like, I'm not going to give it a score. I said that really weird, but when I say it for preview, I'm not going to give it a score because I haven't played the whole thing. But you can tell, like, any of you guys can spend 30 minutes or play a demo and you make a judgment like, man, this fucking sucks. I don't want to play more. I played it. I didn't want to play more. You know, like that was something we wouldn't have done a few years ago. We would have been like, it might still come around. I was like, no, it has 30 days. It's not going to come around. It's going to be shit. And it was shit.
And it didn't.
So we have what? 15, 20 minutes where we take a couple questions?
Yeah, I've got some other things planned on here. But I think the takeaway is that haters going to hate.
Haters going to hate.
I have a listener mail here. I want one of you to weigh in on, and Walter Lopez will help pick an
snack
audience
pack, everybody.
Participant. This is an email from Ross Mitchell. He wants to know if he's a wuss at video games. He says, I recently came to the realization that whenever I play a single-player campaign mode, I choose easy or casual as a difficulty. Now, I'm not a novice to video games, as I've been playing since the Atari 2600. I do this primarily as a way just to enjoy the game, finish it to completion in as little time as possible, since, you know, too many games, too little time. The question is, am I wussing out by doing this? What is your preference?
Damon.
Yes,
Damon.
Greg.
Damon. Ross has double-dipped.
What?
This was sent to Podcast Beyond. It was on the questions feed for yesterday.
There's a golden rule is that if you double dip, we don't like it.
We don't do it.
You
just ruined the panel.
But now we've promised an audience participant to weigh in on this.
Somebody answer. I guess Jim, did that get read yesterday? Did that get read on Beyond yesterday? You were on Podcast Beyond. You don't know? You blacked it out already? Thank you very much.
It did?
Yeah. Man, you've ruined PAX.
More questions. We have more questions that people can weigh in on, though. As a matter of fact,
Damon's going to the iPad. And some music's playing.
Let's knock some boots. I wanted that to be a lot louder and exciting. Who is this from? This is
Hip Hop Anonymous.
This is good. This is from Jason. Hey guys, and hopefully girls. I just started listening.
Sorry. Walter, find a girl to answer the question.
Yeah, there's some girls in here. I just started listening to the Knockin' Boots show. Didn't stop laughing until it was over. In one of the shows, you mentioned an erotic photo hunt game that can be played at bars.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this game, but I have a feeling it would be something worth playing. How do you play the erotic photo hunt game?
It's like a match two game, isn't it? Like you flip one card and then you look for the same boobies in another picture.
No, it's not that. So these are like those little machines that sit on the ends of bars. And they have like really easy casino type games, and usually there's an adult section or an erotic section. And so erotic photo hunt is just the spot the difference game with sexy photos of girls.
So, Round of applause if you've seen this.
Yeah, and play this.
Okay. I didn't know if it was just a Midwest thing, because I know it's big in Missouri bars.
So what I was saying is that this is a great first date icebreaker if you're out. Yes, it is. You're crazy.
This one's asshole is bigger than this one's asshole.
No, you're at a bar, you're having a drink, you're like, hey, let's
Sorry,
play.
Levi.
Okay. So wait, hold on. Back to this man's...
Levi is no longer an IGN employee.
I'm trying to explain why this is a good first date thing.
Okay.
It's a good way to tell if she's cool or not. Like, you know, if she's uptight, you know, if she'd be like, no, that's gross, then, you know, what are you talking about? It's just like a fun, like, flirty, sort of, like, sexy way. You're looking at sexy photos together. Trust me, it's good.
All right.
It's good. So anyway, that's what that is. This is Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I'm sick of people writing in with problems like, my girlfriend wants a threesome, what do I do? Meanwhile, I'm a 21-year-old nerd who hasn't had a girlfriend in 2.5 years. My girlfriend of 4 years left me for some indie pretty boy wannabe. An indie pretty boy wannabe.
Oh, I thought you said Indian pretty boy wannabe. Getting borderline racist here, Steve.
Ever since then, I've lost a lot of my confidence. I've gained weight, stopped hanging out with my former friends, even tried the online dating scene. I've even tried the random sex, but after 3 tries...
Don't do that. Don't do that.
I like the random sex, please.
I realize it just left me feeling empty and even more alone. My question is, how can someone bounce back from this situation? I know you say just get out there and meet women, but some of your listeners will agree it's not always that easy. Where do I meet girls? How do I talk to them? What the hell do I do after that? We will answer first, and then I want a female audience member to weigh in on this. Walter, please find somebody while we discuss.
Raise your hand if you're a female and want to answer the question. That'll make it easier for Walter to find. She didn't put up her hand. You can't put up your hand and point at her. That's not how it works. Anyways, what are your interests? If I was on the market, I am on the market. If I was actively looking for a girlfriend and not the random sex as I am, I would go to PAX and I would talk to girls there, or I would go to a comic book shop and hang. You know what I mean? Like,
it could be a cocktail waitress at a hotel in Cologne, Germany.
Yeah, it helps build up your courage though when you know you'll never see them again.
For sure. So PAX is the perfect place.
Well, no, because at PAX you can meet someone and then fall in love and then, you know, spend thousands of dollars traveling around the country.
Anthony, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Anthony. We love you.
I mean, I don't know how you meet people.
Would everybody say we love you, Anthony? On three. One, two, three.
We love you, Anthony.
That's true. Thank you.
True. Young lady, what is your name?
My name's Kara.
Okay. Tara?
Kara.
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 Okay,
ooh, Kara. Supergirl. Right. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you, Greg Miller?
All right. Question number one. Where does Steve meet girls?
Pretty much anywhere. We're kind of, you know, the same
around.
Place as you are.
Like 51%.
We're people, too.
Yeah. How does Steve talk to them?
Just be yourself. Hey, how you doing? Oh, that's a great bracelet or something. Ooh. Just
so compliment them. Compliment them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Compliment us. We're way more likely to talk to you.
So if he is engaged to a girl and she is talking to him, what does he do next?
I would try to make a move because the first time you're talking, you have to know if they're interested in you. Otherwise, I just drop them. You're talking to me and you don't make a move, I'm like, okay, bye. I don't need to talk to you anymore.
That's good advice.
Make a move.
Kara, are you currently in a relationship?
I am not.
You're not.
Hey-o.
Single.
Yeah, I'm making a move.
Come on, guys.
I have a VIP bracelet to the party. Why don't you come up and we can talk more there over some chicken wings and beers.
That sounds great.
We've got...
Come and get it!
We've got... we have about 10 minutes for questions, and then we have something very special we want to end on. So maybe if you could maybe form a line at the microphone right
talk
here
to
next
the Walter.
To Walter.
Jeez, there's a lot of people. Remember, of course, we'll be there tonight at the meet and greet. You're welcome to talk to us there.
Yeah, if we don't have time to
unless
answer,
I'm talking to Kara, then fuck off.
We don't have time to answer all of your questions tonight. Remember, we have more chances to hang out this weekend. Meet and greet tonight, 6 p.m. at GameWorks, right across the street.
Till 10 o'clock.
Till 10 o'clock.
Party.
And then tomorrow night, I'm DJing the official the PAX after party. It's at Temple Billiards. It starts at 10 p.m. We'll all be there. I'm playing an all dubstep set. Anthony Gallegos is going to be dancing.
And this is the bigger news. They're filming your first music video.
Yeah, we're filming our first music video. Is Jason here today?
There
oh,
he is.
Yes.
That guy right there.
Stand up, Jason.
I mean, look at him. He looks half retarded, but that is going to make a great music video, I tell you.
Jason is going to be filming a music video. So if you guys go, you'll all be in the music video. It's going to be good.
Kick it.
First question.
You guys have spent a lot of time talking about how reviews have changed over time on your website. At this point, a lot of us are expecting free-to-play to really take off and possibly penetrate the console market, if not this generation, then next. How do you think reviews will change at the point in time when free-to-play is way more common?
Yeah, this is weighing heavily on our minds.
We're thinking about
it
a lot,
absolutely
right.
Everything is going free-to-play.
And it's changed not only because of free-to-play games, but it's also changed because of iPhone games, right? Because it's like, how do you review an iPhone game and give it a score when it's a dollar, which might as well almost be free? Like it's like yeah. Throwaway at that point, right? And I think that a lot of times you used to read a lot of IGN reviews and price would definitely come into it. Like if you had some badass game and you're like, and it's only $5, how cool. I think now we don't weigh it quite the same. Like it's worth mentioning and it is like an interesting thing if it has a low price point, but otherwise every free-to-play game should be a 10. It should be like, you should fucking try it. But that's why our reviews always focus first on what is it fun or not. It doesn't matter if it's free or you're paying for it. It comes down to, is it fun?
Yeah, I think people will still need help finding what's good. To
or
play
what's
out
worth
there?
Paying for.
I'm sorry?
Or what's worth paying for. In
yeah,
the
or maybe
game.
A free-to-play game that's actually worth putting money into.
Not just money, but your time. I mean, time spent playing one thing is not spent playing another. So I think that's incredibly valuable, is knowing if it's actually worth, you know, whether it's those 10 minutes or 2 hours.
Shut up, next door.
Thanks. No problem.
Thank you. Please state your name before your question. We want to know who you are.
Hi. My name is John Jamrock. I'm a really big fan of you guys. I'm from actually here in Seattle, so Woo! Had to travel really far. But
thank you for coming all this way.
Yeah. I just had a question. Like, I mean, Greg talked about it a little bit today, but it was just sort of about, you know, interacting with readers, like through the comment system on the site. Is there like an official like IGN standard for, you know, interaction with readers through the comments? Like, is it just like left to your guys' discretion?
Yeah.
Like, keep it classy, or like, I mean, do you just?
There's not a standard, but it is highly encouraged. Yeah, they want.
I mean, if it's a negative comment, like it's like, I mean, Greg's review is like, "Oh, this guy fucking sucks." Like,
oh yeah, we wouldn't. We are generally encouraged not to engage if it's like something that could potentially.
If they're just trolling anyway,
yeah. Right?
You know,
there's so many. I mean, worthwhile comments on a review of, well, how many modes does this do, or how does that work, or how did you play this? You want to answer the real questions. The ones that are just calling you fat and jerky, yeah. You don't worry about it.
Totally.
I mean, it's discretionary, right? You don't want to go on a Twitter tirade where you're like, "Well, you know what? You're just a big old fucking idiot." Like, yeah. You know, we are representing our site when we're doing stuff like that. So we do have to keep it in mind that, you know, we don't want some sort of repercussion to come back and look negatively. Like, I do something that's going to look negatively on Greg and Damon, and everyone's going to think, man, those IGN guys really are assholes, you know? So
we do really enjoy interacting with the real fans as much as we can. So in the comments on my IGN, on Twitter, on Facebook, here at PAX and Meet and Greets like this. So if you haven't ever like hit us up anytime, don't ever hesitate to do that. We love talking with you guys.
And if we don't get back to you on the Twitter or in the email, sorry, yeah. You just got buried. It's not exactly. That I always feel bad when
nothing
somebody's like, I asked you three times. Like, sorry, dude. A lot of people are asking me stuff. I'm trying.
And I just want to say I can't wait to get Panda with you guys tonight.
Yeah.
And I was hoping I could get one of those sexy wristbands that you're handing out there, Mr.
No, Miller. You asked for it. You can't. Sorry. Oh. Sit down. But thanks for coming and see you tonight. Yeah.
We should figure out a wave to...
Oh, here we go,
Damon.
Well, Greg Miller.
Oh, my God.
We meet again. Everybody remembers...
Isn't the audience confused right now? You better be.
If everybody remembers last year at PAX, IGN did a meet and greet with the PlayStation blog, and I arm wrestled a man who was way buffer
shirtless.
Than me, shirtless.
Yeah, this guy is buffer
This
than
is that man.
He should be arm wrestling Tyrut.
You see, I was hoping Tyrut would be here today.
He was supposed
because
to be here.
Because my match with Greg Miller last year, I thought was too easy. So I came here to challenge you, Damon Hatfield.
What?
To arm wrestling.
You're gonna destroy me. I'm not gonna be able to beat you.
What
you do? Just go around picking on people smaller than you.
We don't like you, troll. Arnold Schwarzenegger was busy. Okay.
Okay.
So I had to come here.
What? So we need to. It needs to be like. So if we arm wrestle, then we also need to play DJ Hero to balance it out.
Yeah.
It's on then. Yeah.
All right. So yeah, we can set that up.
All right, right.
Maybe
on.
Tonight.
It's on at the IGN meet and greet at GameWorks. Everyone
okay.
Be there.
I don't think we're gonna have DJ Hero, but okay.
Maybe they have it in an arcade cabinet. All right.
All right. I actually do have a serious question.
Sure.
I'm not actually here to spout hate at you guys. the Wii U was announced at E3, and very
like hotcakes.
Interesting device as it is. I was wondering what you guys are gonna think of it as a hardcore gaming system because. Nintendo hasn't been notorious for coming out with a hardcore system such as the Wii and the GameCube. And they're also talking about releasing new hardcore gamer titles. How do you think that's going to affect them coming in basically 6 years late to the game to Sony and Microsoft?
So, too early to call officially. However, my instincts are that it's for babies.
All right, thank you very much.
thank you. I mean, the tech isn't going to be as powerful as the next Xbox and the PS3. Plus, the controller is so much different. You're going to have another situation where it's going to be hard to port games. You know,
I think Nintendo let everyone down with the Wii, and I think Nintendo letting people down with the 3DS so far. So, it's definitely not a go wait in line for it sort of deal.
I think Nintendo's very confused right now because they had such incredible success with the Wii. They're a little maybe.
How do they continue that success? Yeah, what do they
now
do
now? They're
that?
Very confused.
My mom's not going to buy a Wii U. My mom doesn't understand what a Wii U is.
They put out the 3DS, which made perfect sense on paper, and it's struggling. So I think they're really struggling to figure out what they're going to do next. And the Wii U, they unveiled it, and everybody was like, "Huh?
Just buy an iPad."
It's one of those things. It reminds me a lot of the trophies versus achievement article. If you have a whole bunch of achievement points, you don't care about trophies. So if you already have systems that can play Batman Arkham City now instead of whenever. Well,
exactly.
I mean, you're going to stick with that, but if you only have a Wii, this is your next step, maybe? I don't know.
All right.
So we don't know yet.
Okay.
Next year, maybe, we'll have an answer?
Yeah, we'll talk about this again at the next PAX.
Sounds good. Thank
cool.
you.
Cool.
We got five more minutes for questions.
Hey, guys, I'm Jamie.
Hey, buddy.
Some of the
more mature games this generation that have had really good adult stories have been things like Heavy Rain and Catherine, I would think. But the stories haven't been so much displayed in the game. So, like, Catherine's a really good puzzle game, but its story is never a game. How do you think that we're going to actually be able to make games that can be for adults?
How do we play games that are for adults?
It's so loud next door.
What are they doing?
Should we, like, try and see if we can beat them?
Sure.
Oh, of course we can.
How loud can we be?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we should do it. It'll be like 1, 2, 3, and then scoop, scoop, scoop.
We're going to do it 3 times. It should be like in who listens to Tech Nine? No? Everybody? It should be like technicians.
Right? Ow, ow. All
right. Walter knows what that's so it'll all be about. You're going to lead this, Greg, because you're the loudest one.
1, 2, 3. Scoop, scoop, scoop.
I think we can do
it. I was practicing there. Sorry.
That was a practice.
We'll do it. All right. So now we're all set. All right. So deep breaths. Open your lungs up.
Use your diaphragm.
Shoot from the diaphragm. All right. 1, 2. Scoop, 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 scoop. I miscounted my scoops.
Okay. That's good. All
right.
So your question, please rephrase your question a little bit more concisely.
A little bit smaller. How do we make a game that is actually gamey but for adults?
You don't think we have those already? Or?
Well, Heavy Rain wasn't so much. A lot of people don't think that the game part of Heavy Rain was a real game.
So what about Uncharted?
Uncharted's close.
Mass Effect.
Half-Life 2.
But it feels like the game parts in those aren't the mature parts. It feels like the mature parts of the stories, when they really come by, it's in a cutscene. When we really, like, you know, when you have the relationship part, the relationship goes down and it's just a cutscene of it.
Sure. I mean, I think there are ways to do it. It would not make sex a quick time event or something like that, right? Like, if you played, like, the first Darkness, it had, like, the most, like, the best example in my mind of video game romance, where you sit on the couch with your girlfriend. It gives you the option to get up, but if you just sit there long enough, you'll end up making out with her. And it never tells you, like, sit to make out with her or something like that. Or you don't get scored for it. It's just, like, it happens, and it's, like, a moment that builds a relationship with her. But they separate those like, more mature moments, and they keep it interlaced with game. I don't know that people want something that's just like mature gameplay the whole time, or maybe a very small subsect does, but not enough to afford making a game like The Darkness or even Heavy Rain, really.
I think games become more mature all the time, but you know, the game part of it is so important because that's what makes it interactive. You know, if you take that away, then it's just a movie or a story or something. So, but I do think, you know, games are getting more and more mature every year.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks. Okay.
How we doing?
One more question.
Oh, final question.
Don't worry, we're going to be hanging out
all
night.
Don't worry. Remember, you can always send your questions to gamescoop@ign.com.
That's gamescoop@ign.com.
I'll tell you what, if you were in line and didn't get to ask a question, come up and see me and I'll give you a free iPhone or iPad game.
There you go. Levi's handing out free iPhone games.
Levi! An hour later.
What?
An hour later.
After the panel.
Okay.
And also, if you
don't be a fucking liar and come up and say you're in that line.
I'm imprinting your images on my mind. Come up and see me, and I'll give you a wristband for the party tonight. Okay. All right. Last question.
All right. Are we allowed to ask Mac and Boots questions?
Yes. You're encouraged.
Awesome. I just want to thank you guys for the advice that you've given on the GameScoop or on the Knockin' Boots podcast, because it's helped me.
Yeah,
in my personal
buddy.
Life. I just about 5 months ago got out of a relationship that was a 5-year relationship, really long time. You know, I'm looking around trying to know what to do, and you know, burn bridges is what you guys always say, and that's what I did, and it's worked out for the best. I've got a really beautiful girl that, you know, we're going out, and it's great. It's been gone. So my question is for you, when you guys have those longer relationships, I don't know if you have or not, what do you do to get over that kind of stuff?
Cry a lot.
So the question is, like, after you break up from a long relationship?
Yep.
So, but are you? I thought you said you're in a new relationship now.
I am. Okay. I was just curious what you guys did, because I'm
our personal experiences on what we did.
Oh. Well, Greg, I don't know.
How fucking sad are we about to get?
I know, right?
Get a lot of tattoos because it hurts. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
just keep on living.
Yeah, it's like
I mean, it
there's
gets
not like
every
a
day, right?
Yeah, there's not a cure all time. It takes time.
Talk to your friends, hang out with them, pet your wiener dog.
Yeah, I'm afraid there's not like an easy answer to all that. I don't know if, you know, Anthony came out of a long relationship recently and it bumped him out.
I mean,
there's not an answer to it. It's like,
there is no
good
answer.
It always sucks.
Yeah, but you can focus on the positives, right? Like, I mean,
2 years from now, you're going to think about that girl and all of a sudden wake up and just be like, fuck, and then maybe you want to cry, but that's okay. It's, you're just human. Whatever.
Yeah. Keep living life as it is, right?
But we're really happy for you that you've got
to make out with your girlfriend.
Yes. Yeah. Knock them boots.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had a lot of fun today.
But, you know, we're going to end on a good note here.
If you're at home, Anthony Gallegos has taken out a guitar. He's going to sing the Commenter song, subtitled, Thanks for the Clicks.
This is dedicated to all of our angry commenters out there, all
I'm
over the world.
I'm really nervous. Turn me through your mic.
Oh, hold on. I'm signing off, Scoop.
I'm really,
We should say this is words by Greg Miller, music by Anthony.
Well, it was very last minute the way this all came together. Oh, actually, I need to see the lawyer. Yeah. I'm good. I'm good. Can you guys hear me, kid? Okay. We work all day. We write all night. Keep IGN fit for the fight. We post reviews and make cool vids, all to satisfy millions of kids. And when we're done, we look back proud. But these are the comments we read out loud. Way to suck Black Ops cock, you IGN assholes. Hope the check was big enough to justify selling your own souls. Oh, internet, you're so foolish. Oh, internet, you gotta understand. If I got paid for reviews, I'd have nice things. I wouldn't ride the bus or live on chicken wings.
I still would.
And when we're done, we look back proud. But these are the comments.
Sorry.
We read out loud. Dear IGN, fuck your mother's stupid face. You're a sad statement on the human race. Oh, internet, why don't you understand? Go elsewhere and be their fan. Don't sit here and troll my Twitter. I'm sorry my kills don't score, made you bitter, but thanks for the clicks. Thank you all for coming.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. All right, sit down for 1 second. Thank you very much, Anthony. That was awesome. Thank you all for coming out today. We love you all very much. Remember, you're going to hang out with us tonight. Meet and greet at GameWorks, 6 p.m. DJ party tomorrow night, Temple Billiards at 10 p.m. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Levi. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you to all of you. I want to impregnate all of you. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.